my mafia style. Tell a bum, I'm a puppet drum. Get my CD crumb. Smoking like a solid monk. Don't you bump it, get it bump. Smoke, 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 smoking like a solid monk. You know you bump this nitty bump.
This is the best loop to come back. This is the best loop to come back for what we're about to talk about. This hard driving.
Unfortunately, the stereo mix is off a little bit, so it's still kind of swirling, but no big deal.
It's not as bad as it was now that that one thing's pulled out. But
yeah.
Bum, 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 ba-da-dum, bum. Because we are talking to Vance S. West of TrinityScience.com. Trinity Science, it's remote viewing. He applies remote viewing. He trains remote viewers. He applies remote viewing to subjects, and one of them is this project he's undertaken all of on his own. He's like, you know, let's do it. About a month or two ago, he emailed me and he goes, I'm going to start this project. I hope to have something by the time I'm on Ghostly Talk. If I do, then I do. If I don't, then I don't. But the thing is, I really want to undertake this project, so I'm starting this project. So let's see what we can do. And he started this project. Vance, tell us about this project that you undertook, and then now, because we actually got results, you posted up at TrinityScience.com. Tell us about this project. Why did you undertake it? What was it about? Who knew about it? How did it work, and who was involved?
Right. Yeah, it was, you know, first, let me just, let me say thanks to you guys for having such a wonderful forum for, you know, such different, diverse subject matter. I mean, this is a great show, and I know you guys get a lot of crap via email. Thank you so much for having different, you know, variety of guests. I mean, this is a wonderful, wonderful show. So
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. That being said, yeah, this project, you know, it was the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, actually, late at night. I usually do this week. 11 to about 4 in the morning working. And it was just an idea because there was all this hoopla that I knew was going to come down the chute, basically, the next month or so, about this character, Jesus. Who was Jesus? And what does it mean? And how did he die? And you know, you have Mel Gibson's movie out now and everything. I thought, well, you know, what an interesting topic and what an interesting subject to tackle via remote viewing. And so it was the 14th of February that I decided to go ahead and do that. And I initiated a project. And what I did is, you know, I had the idea, and my main focus on this was I wanted to establish, you know, what was the death event of the individual known as Jesus of Nazareth? You know, how did he die? Was there something that resembled a crucifixion? That was my main thing, and that seemed, you know, the main focus of everyone's interest is, you know, did he die on a cross? Did he go to France somewhere and hang out and was murdered? You know, there's all the different types of. So I thought, you know, what an interesting thing, and you know, to be quite honest, you know, it's the type of project that I don't do. You know, the people that I work with, and you know, this project. I mean, I'm on your show babbling, and I'm the talking head or whatever, but. All the credit on this goes to the wonderful team of viewers that I work with, and by no means are these people, they don't work for me. I mean, they're volunteering their time. We're all peers. We're all equals. And I have the greatest bunch of people that I work with. I know Damien Vanier. He's in the chat room, I'm sure. Jessica Wright is in there. I'm not sure if Edward has shown up. Edward Reardon, he's another viewer I've been working with. And then the mystery man, APJ. So I had this wonderful, wonderful team of viewers, and what I decided was, you know, I'm going to tackle this. I you know, shot you the email and said, hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to initiate it. Hopefully we'll have some data. If we do, fantastic. If we don't, well, I'm going to be stuck on there for an hour and a half trying to talk about something. But luckily, we got some really compelling data. So I initiated the project. No one knows about it except for me. It's my secret little thing that I initiate. And so what happens is I have this team of remote viewers that I work with, and we rotate around quite a bit where, you know, maybe this month I'll initiate a project and have everyone else remote view on it. Maybe next month it might be Damien, or it might be Edward, or it might be Jessica. So we initiate around with, or rotate around with different people being what we consider the project manager. So it just, you know, turns out that, you know, it was my turn, basically, and I initiated this project and told no one. And what happens is I figure out how I'm going to do it. You know, how am I going to, you know, figure out the questions that I need the remote viewers to answer. And the major emphasis being, what was the death event of Jesus of Nazareth? So to establish that, to really tackle it, I needed to figure out, you know, was there an individual that existed known as Jesus? You know, did this person, this entity actually exist? So I kind of had to kind of work that in there initially and see if we had enough data initially to go forward with trying to figure out what happened at the death event. So I create the questions and assign target IDs or identifiers to these questions.
Did you release those all at the same time, the identifiers, or did you release them at the same time, or did you phase them in?
We phase them in. It depends. Sometimes you can actually, you know, just go ahead and send a remote viewer a slew, but usually what will happen is, and on this one specifically, what happened is I had a rough idea of how I needed to progress, but a lot of times you have to adjust according to the data you're getting. So, you know, I sent out an initial ID, which basically revolved around Jesus of Nazareth, who? I wanted to establish if we had enough, you know, data to suggest that there was an actual person or an actual entity to move on. So I sent out that ID, and the only thing and it's important to remember, The other viewers on this have no idea what the target is. They don't know that I'm tackling this Jesus character. It could be a vase of flowers. It could be a picture of an automobile. It could be anything because, you know, as most of the people will tell you, I'm pretty anal retentive, and I'm nuts and bolts when it comes to remote viewing targets. To me, there's not a lot of sense remote viewing, you know, stuff that you cannot verify. It's not remote viewing. If remote viewing non-verifiable things, you could sketch anything. You know, that's the science behind remote viewing. So it's very, very seldom that I take on a project like this. But I, for some reason I felt compelled to do it. I thought it'd be a real interesting thing.
So your team, even if they had gone in with preconceived notions of the types of targets that you select, because face it, as you get to know people, you like my friend Craig and I, we read each other's minds all the time because we just talk so much that I know pretty much what he's going to say and when and why and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So as you get to know people, even virtually through the internet, you can pretty much target their personality, and you've got preconceived conscious and subconscious notions of that person. Even if your team had any preconceived notions of your targets, this would have been totally out of the water because they had no clue.
Oh, no idea. I mean,
didn't even fit your normal profile.
No, not at all. I mean, my
awesome. That's a control, a scientific control in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, my typical remote viewing diet, you know, consists of, you know, basically, you know, hard verifiable stuff. I'm typically not interested in remote viewing things I can't verify. To me, it's a waste of time. If I'm doing something, I want to be able to look at the results and look at, you know, what I was working on and say, well, you know, this was a good session, or this was a bad session, or, you know, this data here was good, but this over here was bad. That's, to me, that's the nuts and bolts, and that's the science of remote viewing. If you're not remote viewing at least, you know, a healthy diet of validation type things,
right. You could be then scoring your own imagination.
Yeah, you really can. You have to be careful. And so, you know, for me, it was a very, not a normal target for me. And they had, you know, just, after everyone was done, and I told them what the target was, and everyone was just amazed. You know, not only because of the data we got, but because, you know, they certainly didn't expect to get a target like that from me. So it was a really, really interesting thing. So all the remote viewers are blind, and you know, I send them out, you know, the initial target idea that they start working, and right away, you know, right away when I first started getting the sessions back, I knew, wow, okay, you know, this is some amazing stuff. And another important note is that I myself did do some remote viewing on this, and being that I knew the target, you know, that's what we call being front-loaded in remote viewing terms. I knew what the target was. As an advanced or a more advanced experienced remote viewer, you can do targets that you are front-loaded on. It's just, it's a lot more difficult, and your accuracy rate, you know, quickly lessens, but you can do it. You just have to stay very disciplined to the process. But, you know, that being said, my data that you may see in the presentation, or if you actually go to look at the full session work once I get it posted, you have to look at my session work and consider it garbage, because it's front-loaded. And scientifically, clinically, it violates the controls of remote viewing. But the reason I did it was, you know, I was interested myself. You know, I had a personal interest in it, and it's interesting to look at the data of someone that's front-loaded compared to someone that was totally, entirely blind. And there's lots of corroborating data between the two, which is really, really interesting. So that's a very important point. But the rest of the remote viewers were, you know, 100% blind on this, and the data I started getting from the initial target ID was just amazing stuff. I knew right away, okay, you know, we're on to something. It appears that there is an individual recognized collectively as Jesus. I felt strong enough with the data to move on and then adjust the questions accordingly. You know, so once we kind of, you know, establish, okay, there's a who, I decided, okay, what do I want to tackle next? You know, how do I want to phrase it? And I moved to Jesus of Nazareth, exact cause of death. I wanted to see if I could pinpoint what actually caused this individual to die. And that was the next question that I sent out to the viewers, of course, with an encrypted identifier, so they don't know what the question is. And they don't know from the first one. I don't tell them what the first one is either. I mean, the entire process, they're totally 100% blind. They have no idea. So
they had no idea. Like, even though you had their session data for the first target ID,
right,
you had the session data, they still had no idea. Were they right? And when they got the second target ID, they didn't even know that it was related.
Right, exactly. They don't, you know, they don't know. I mean, it could have been something entirely different. Could have been, you know, just another validation target for the week. It totally, no clue. You know, a lot of times, you know, you as a remote viewer, you always want feedback. You send something in, you want to know, what is it? What is it? You know, you always want feedback. But as you get more experienced and more, you know, spend more time doing session work, you get to the point where, you know, you get a little more consistent with your work, and you know that, you know, you can wait. You can wait a couple months, or, I mean, I have a couple projects that I'm still working on that are considered operational projects, but I have one that I've been working on for over a year that, you know, it's still ongoing. So a lot of times you don't get feedback. So it's something, you know, as you progress as a more advanced remote viewer, you learn to deal with. But yeah.
And at this point, they didn't even, your remote viewers didn't even know it was part of a project, did they? Or did they know, okay, I'm going to send a series as part of a project?
Well, at that point, you know, when we got to the second and third ID, you know, they basically, I sequestered everybody. I was like, look, you know, they knew the data they were getting wasn't a vase of flowers.
Right. They knew it was something esoteric.
It was very, very powerful session work. And I think it was maybe into the second ID or something like that I sent an email out and I said, look, you know, this it's part of a project. It's ongoing. You know, revealed nothing about the actual target, of course, and told them basically at this point, as far as communication protocols, no talking to each other about the target, you know, no discussing, you know, via email, phone, fax with the other viewers. Hey, what'd you get on this session? Or, you know, how'd you feel? Or, you know, what type of data did you get? None of that.
That makes sense, because at that point, and I didn't even think of that, at that point you even had to quell them from talking to each other about that project.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's one of the worst things that can happen when you're working with a team.
Because you don't want them to contaminate each other.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't have that. Yeah, it'll taint, you know, the data. And, you know, if you talk to another remote viewer, if you're a remote viewer and I'm talking to you and I say, hey, on target ID 1234, what'd you get? And you tell me, oh, I got a structure, and I got this life form, and, you know, he's playing tennis, or, you know, whatever you get. My imagination at that point, you know, I'm mind screwed. There's nothing I can do now to really prevent my subconscious from creeping in and turning my session work into doo-doo. It's very hard. You know, a trained remote viewer that's advanced and trained and has enough experience can battle that, but, I mean, realistically speaking, nah, it's just not going to happen. So, yeah, all the remote viewers have to be, you know, just like a jury on a trial. They got to be sequestered, you know, no talking to each other, no talking to the you know, anyone from the outside as far as, hey, we're doing this project, and, you know, none of that's going on. Everyone's quiet. You know, there's no communication about the idea of a project going on. So it's totally, entirely, 100%, you know, shut down as far as that. If there's any questions about the session itself, if your viewer has some type of method question or some type of something they need to clarify in the actual session itself, they'll email me and say, you know, hey, I'm at this breaking point in the session. I have this type of data. This is the way I feel. Where do you want me to go with it? And I might give them limited instructions as to, okay, yeah, move on aspect A or move on this, you know, part of the site and see what you get there without revealing any information. And that's important, you know, as a project manager or something like that, that you're able to, if needed, give some type of instruction to help out the viewer, but you have to do it in such a manner that you're in no way revealing anything specific.
Right, and that's happened on other targets already. I mean, you've already developed protocols for that.
Yeah, especially Edward and Damien, the three of us have been working together for a couple years now, and whether it's, you know, just operational or just training targets or lottery stuff or sports betting, we've all worked together, the three of us, very closely, and we know how each other works, and we've, you know, pretty much established this you know, communication link where we know how to work together without, you know, without violating any type of scientific protocol, you know. So it's that's very, very important, and making sure that viewers are not contaminated. Absolutely.
Excellent. So you fed them the next couple of targets, or
we went one by one.
Okay.
We went to the second one, which was the exact cause of death, and I wanted to see, could we narrow down exactly what happened? You know, was there something that, you know, was indicative of this individual, you know, whatever, dying on some type of pole or cross? Was that the scenario? Was, you know, was he beat to death? Did he die, you know, walking to a pub? You know, I mean, I don't know. And that's the important thing, is when we went into this this project, the questions are phrased in such a way that there is no presumptions as to the outcome.
Okay, all right. Now, that's the question I had. That was the major and only question I had after reading this whole discourse that you sent to me earlier today. I found it seemed kind of weird. Like, okay, let's say you get to the third target ID, right?
Right.
Now we're starting to develop a picture of what's going on here, vaguely or whatnot. But say that I'm one of the remote viewers. I'm one of the people on this project. And
right.
I see, hey, across. Okay. And then there's a person. But Jesus Christ! I was thinking of more in the lines of self-contamination, so to say, where... And I think you've already explained that already, where you have to be a trained remote viewer does not let that happen to them. They don't let their imagination take over. As soon as that happens, it's garbage. It's crap.
Well, that's the thing. If I know I'm not a trained remote viewer, so
yeah.
I wouldn't know what I would do. But if I were a trained remote viewer, even if you were a trained remote viewer
yeah.
and you got this that you drew a picture of a cross in,
yeah.
in your session work, and then you started drawing a figure over it, at what point can you not be excited?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I think I know what this is. You know, I mean...
Yeah, it's kind of like playing charades, it seems like, by that point, where you're like, you know...
I want to know how you would void out what you've always learned.
Well, that's where...
Yeah, that's... Exactly.
A trained remote viewer would do that.
Would have to be able to...
That's what Vance has said already.
Yeah, but how can they do that realistically? Because, I mean, if you look in the PDF, if you go to trinityscience.com, download the PDF, you know, click on the picture, download the PDF, one of these images... is just so obviously,
yeah.
you know, Jesus of Nazareth hanging from the cross.
That was mine, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you. Oh, and you were preloaded.
Okay,
exactly.
Right.
So,
oh,
okay.
Okay,
all right. I get it.
That's a very important point because that
okay.
was my sketch of the very you know obvious one hanging on a cross. I was front loaded.
Oh, that's it. Front loaded. You were front loaded, so you
absolutely. And
okay.
I was battling, you know, preconceived notions, imagination, everything else, and. People should, you know, I'm pretty sure I noted on there that, you know, that data should be considered garbage.
Yeah.
Right,
and you,
okay.
And you do state that right here in the PDF. This is garbage.
That's important because I was front-loaded. I know what the target is, and absolutely, it's garbage. But what's interesting, and the reason I put it in there is because when you look at that in context with the other remote viewers and the fact that they were all drawing similar things, it's very interesting at that point. I mean, you have Damien and Edward that actually, you know, one of the guys drew a T-shaped structure with a circle connected to it, which in remote viewing, typically speaking, circles represent life. Circles will always
yeah.
come across in symbolics or later on just gestalt information as circles. And so here's a guy that's drawing a T-shaped structure with a circle, and another blind remote viewer drew the same thing, another T-shaped thing, with a circle on top of it. And I think he had an imagination of rising bread dough or something that he declared because he didn't know. He doesn't know. You basically
right.
objectify everything that comes into your head. So at that moment, he had the idea of, wow, this must be a table or something with rising bread dough on it. And you write it down, as stupid as it sounds. But you know, the data is the data, and the fact that blind remote viewers were drawing this T-shaped structure. And Damien had, you know, another drawing that was very similar to mine where he had a main circle, a main life form, with smaller circles around it, you know,
yeah.
groups of people that he actually identified later on as groups of people watching, you know, this life form and the structure behind it, the structure that was, you know, began looking like a pole. And, you know, Edward and his data, you know, he had a sketch that was this pole, and he had the idea of hanging on and suspended from or a placehold and, you know, all types of crazy data. So that's when it's interesting to look at, you know, the data collected from a blind remote viewer and looking at, you know, someone that's front-loaded like myself. And like I say, you have to consider it garbage.
Right. Well, I mean, it, like you said, I'm glad you included it in the PDF because even though the front-loaded sessions are, you know, not evidence,
right.
It does show that you were concerned about the topic enough to try it on your own, and you're not, you know, like, you're not going to say, you know, oh, no, I didn't try this on my own because I was, you know, front-loaded. You say, I was front-loaded, I tried it on my own, I came up with some good stuff, so that's, you know, that actually adds another dimension to the blind remote viewer's work. In that you had come up with something, so thank heavens you did, so you know that the stuff that they're coming up with it's either going to correlate or totally be uncorrelatable.
Right, absolutely. I mean, you know, their data could have been anything. You know, it could have been some type of man-made object moving down a mountain or something. It could have been a sports car. I mean, but it wasn't, and that's what's really interesting. And you know, my data is it's personally, it was some of the most powerful sessions I've ever experienced. And you know, it was a personal interest of mine, and that's why I wanted to do some viewing, you know, myself. And it was just, it was some of the most powerful sessions I've ever had. But like I say, it was front loaded, and it should be considered that way. But you know, in context with everyone else that was blind,
and it's really interesting because you obviously, because you were front loaded, you knew what was going on. So when you saw the T shape, or when you drew the T shape, and then you drew the figure, you're like, oh well, I knew what was going on. But you said Damien had drawn and thought it was bread dough rising.
Yeah, one of the viewers, I don't know if it was Edward or possibly APJ, both of them had drawn a T shaped structure. But one of them had, you know, a T-shaped structure with a large circle, and it had the what we call an AOL, which means analytical overlay, or you know, imagination, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Had the idea of rising bread dough,
which is actually, in my opinion,
right, because he rose.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Rising, you know, Jesus rising. Yeah, I like that.
Did you come across that?
Do you know, Karma?
Did you think about that, Vance?
Thought of that. Vance, had you thought of that particular correlation?
I didn't actually specifically think of that. No, but that's another really interesting.
Yeah, because the point that you get a point. Because the point I was going to make was the fact that his consciousness, even though he knew the data, what he was drawing and what he was seeing and what he was doing, his consciousness did not really put it together with the cross and Jesus and the actual mode of death of Jesus of Nazareth.
That's the objectivity right there.
So he was able to remain completely objective because he thought he was seeing a plate of rising bread dough on a table.
And you know, it's important to note also that the viewers they don't see any other session work while they're doing this. They're not looking at any, you know, APJ is not looking at Damien's session work, and Edward's not looking at my session work, and Damien's not looking at Jessica's, you know, vice versa. No one has seen anyone else's session work at this point. So, you know, there's no type of contamination that way. They're just working a project. And, you know, myself personally, I went into this not expecting, I didn't expect to start a session and draw an individual suspended from what, you know, appears to be a cross. I'm the farthest thing from, you know, what you would consider a Christian. I am not of a Christian background, and my beliefs are, you know, not necessarily of that origin. So I didn't know what to get, and I certainly did not expect to. I was shocked when we got the WHO info that was indicative of there being an individual. I was actually shocked, and the more I went on and the more I did my session work, I just did not expect to draw what I did personally. And then when I saw what everyone else was drawing, I was even more kind of, I was scratching my head. You know, like I say, this project left everyone. I know when I spoke to Damien, and you know, I told him he had finished all the session work, and things were completed, and I revealed. Damien actually called the target in one of his last sessions. He was doing relationship work of, you know, what's this life form? What's the relationship to the life form to the structure? And he actually called in his session work, you know, I think he had something that seems like someone was hung on it, AOL the cross, and AOL Jesus. I mean, he was right on top of this thing, and he's got this amazing sketch of an individual. And here's a blind remote viewer, have, you know, it just amazing work. And when I, you know, after he had finished all his work and he was done, I told him what the target was. He couldn't work. I mean, he told me, he's like, I don't know if I can go to work now. And everyone was just scratching their head with the data that we received, because we didn't, you know, of course they didn't know what they were doing to start off with, but myself, knowing what the target was, I did not expect to get the data that we got. It, real, real interesting stuff.
Yeah, because it's sort of life altering, because everybody has their opinion of the Bible. And of Jesus of Nazareth and Mary and Joseph and the stories, you know, Noah, the flood, everybody. everybody has their opinion. You know, some people don't even believe in the Bible at all.
Right.
Some people see it as a collection of allegories, you know, how to live your life, you know, based on these beautiful little stories, a lot like fairy tales. Some people have it, this is the word, you know, this is it, this is, you know, place all their faith in it, 100%, that this was, you know, because it, so it is written, you know, that kind of thing. And so you've got, like, for every human on the planet, that you're going to have that many different beliefs in the Bible,
right,
or belief levels. And so you're talking about a cross-section of people who are into the esoteric, who are into remote viewing, and these are fringe sciences, you know, they're obviously not, you know, remote viewing is just not, you know, done, you know, in the next lab over from people injecting mice with steroids.
Exactly.
So you're talking about people with these widely varying beliefs, who are suddenly drawing crosses with figures.
Right.
And not knowing why or how or anything even about the target, that what they're supposedly drawing. So you've got, that's really got to be, a mind-expanding event to have worked on that project.
Yeah, it was, for every one of us, it was a very, very interesting, very compelling experience. And, yeah, I know, you know, I spoke to Damien and Edward and, of course, Jessica and APJ and everyone. I mean, their session work was just so vivid and so powerful. It was probably, I mean, myself personally speaking, it was some of the most, when Carmen was asking about visuals, these sessions were some of the most visual that I've had, but it wasn't visual in the sense that it was a static image, you know, smack in front of me that I could, you know, declare as total imagination. It was quick, fleeting, you know, images of this and that, but it was such vivid visual stuff that you know, I hadn't really experienced in many sessions, and it was quite powerful. So absolutely, just amazing stuff. And you know, like I say, we're all coming from diverse backgrounds, and none of us are you know, what you consider the hardcore Christians or anything like that. And myself personally, I didn't expect to get the data we got, but you know, the data is the data, and it was from, you know, blind remote viewers, so it's very, very interesting.
What are the chances that the remote viewers were reading your mind? I mean, I know this. I didn't mean to like blindside you, but I just wonder how it works. Were they reading your mind, for example, or were, because you were the project coordinator, you're the one who came up with the questions to go along with the remote viewing IDs, the cryptic IDs. So could they have been reading your mind, or were they actually accessing information from the cosmic information source, or were their consciousnesses transported back in time, because we're talking 2,000 and some odd years ago, right?
Right.
Or 2,000 years ago, a little under 2,000 years ago, were they transported back in time and accessing information from back then and accessing information in a space-time of that, the space-time that particular event happened in? What is it? I mean, is it possible any or all three of these things, or some other information source that I haven't thought of, or don't we really know yet?
Well, you know, I don't think we really, really know. I mean, if they were accessing my thoughts or my mind, then it's definitely the most, you know, well-published, documented ability to do so. The ability to do a mind probe like that that I've seen. So if that was the case, then, well, man, that was some good work. You know, I mean, all the remote viewers, Damien, Edward, and Jessica, they all were able to successfully do a mind probe on me. But I don't know about that. I don't know. There's all types of different theories about what you consider a telepathic overlay, picking up on other people's thoughts when it comes to remote viewing. And most of them scientifically, clinically, have been proven not to hold too much water. So I don't know. I don't think that's likely the case, but, you know, I don't know for sure. I don't think anyone really does. What's interesting, though, is some of the remote viewers reported, you know, things of, I think, Roman soldiers or something in a Colosseum and things of that nature.
Well, towards the end, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which are things that, you know, myself personally, I certainly didn't think about, so if it was something coming from my mind, so to speak, that they were picking up on, then it was something that was so, you know, deeply submerged into my subconscious that I wasn't aware of it. So, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that, but, it would require more remote viewing and more work. And one of the ways you could do that would be to have a neutral party, do the tasking and everything else. You could have, someone that's actually putting together the project, and they know what the project is, and they only submit the target ID numbers to me, which then I in turn send those target IDs out to remote viewers without knowing what the target is. That would be something that you could do further to
right. That would make one more level of control.
And that's something that
Well, I'm not attacking it. I'm really interested in knowing.
Absolutely.
Because
that's the type of thought that has to go on in remote viewing, because it is about the science. And that's an excellent question, and one that I wish I had an answer for, but I don't.
Well, okay. So this project, this particular project, because we're like 16 minutes to go, so there's a lot to talk about in 16 minutes. Mm. This project, sum it up for us in like, how did it work out? Was it, obviously it's way beyond anything I've ever experienced, seeing this data, because I'm like, this is flabbergasting.
Alone, the title alone is like,
The title alone starts it out, your awe.
Yeah.
So it's this particular project, did it fulfill your original hopes for the project?
Yeah, I mean, it went way beyond my expectations of what I thought we would get data-wise and what type of answers we get to our question. I mean, to sum it up, the initial or the main emphasis was there something that resembled a crucifixion that occurred to this being or entity or individual known as Jesus? That was the main emphasis. And it's important to also say that when I asked the question of I didn't task the crucifixion or something like that, because it would have been presumptuous. I basically asked the question of what happened at the death event, and what happened at what was the exact cause of death, and I let the data tell us what happened, and then we make our own analysis. But to sum it up, it appears from our data from blind remote viewers that this individual collectively known as Jesus did exist. Now, who was he historically? Could he have been someone else that became known as Jesus? Possibly. I don't have the answer to that. It would require different questions. But someone collectively known as Jesus did exist, according to our blind data, and something happened at this death event of this person named Jesus that is not dissimilar to what has historically became known as a crucifix, or crucifixion, excuse me. Now, whether, there was some type of ritual killing that involved a life form and some type of man-made object that dealt with hanging or suspension. So there's something that occurred that resembles what we know as a crucifixion.
Just incredible. That validates a story from the Bible,
yeah,
is what it does. But to me, I mean, that's my own... I know I'm coming, now front loaded, because I know what the whole project. But
we're looking at this. I want to say. Looking at the whole thing.
Yeah,
I'm looking down at this whole project from birth to death, basically, and going, okay, this is where they started, and this is where they ended up.
Right.
And
now, of course,
and it really correlates with a widely known part of religion.
Well, that was where I had the only question. Everything was pretty cut and dry here. It really was. If you read this whole discourse, which everybody should read, this whole PDF, print it out. It's like 20 pages, but it's just like this is just packed with information that you should definitely read. I lost my train of thought.
I'm still kind of out of it.
Go ahead.
Hey, Vance, I was wondering if to rule out any kind of a contamination. I know
you took it off for me. Yeah.
I know that you are experienced at this and whatnot, and you kind of trust to what you might be. I know, like if you already knew something and then you started to remote view it, and then you could probably rule out whether you were just going by what you knew or not. But you think a better way to do it was if you asked a question. How did he, like, what was the true way that he died? Like, taking two different belief systems, like what the Christians believe and what the Islamics believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you start from there? Like, which one is the truth?
Well, how so? I mean, what? How?
Oh, she said, like basically offer choices. Can you offer choices in the question? Can you phrase the question and say
like two known ways? That
are the Christians correct, or is the
Islamic
religion?
Culture, yeah.
If you did something like that,
or is
you
that
would be tasking the answer basically?
Yeah.
If I was to task the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, I'm tasking the answer I'm trying to get at that point. I'm saying
yeah,
that there's crucifixion already. You're adding in info. That's why we simply just put in the death event and let the data tell us. It could have been anything.
I've never even heard that term before until I read this thing, the death event.
Right.
It's a very general term.
And it could
term.
Be anything. He could
well,
be anything. Yeah.
The reason why I suggest that is because it would put you in the middle. Like, you would be taking that, what they believe, into consideration and also of the Christian and kind of like getting more...
Well, this is
but he made his task even more general than that.
Yeah, see, if,
just
if,
what was the death
I'm
event?
I'm not familiar enough with... I
don't even think that's really the focus of what they're trying. I mean, it's a good question, though, Karma.
No, I said it as in, like, if you didn't trust yourself with contaminating, like saying, oh, yeah, it was a cross.
Right.
Like taking something else into consideration to get the direct answer.
Oh, you mean when you already know the question.
Right.
Not the blind targets.
Right.
Okay. Right. What she's saying is when you did a front-loaded session, instead of tasking yourself with, you know, even something as simple as what was the death event, because, you know, you've got some idea about, you know, Jesus of Nazareth and the cross, right, in your head because you live in the United States.
Right, your preconceived notions, absolutely.
So you've got some preconceived notions. But so what if when you did your own remote viewing, if you had said, is it more toward the Christian level, you know, the Christian crucifixion kind of thing, or more along the lines of like the Islamic beliefs?
What they believe in.
Yeah, whatever it is, I don't know either, but more along the lines of some other...
Right.
You know, he was a teacher and he probably died of old age or whatever,
well,
you know.
They actually believe that he didn't actually hang on the cross, that they put Judas up there. God took him back before the Romans came and got him.
Oh, okay.
And they hung Judas as a mistake, like, oops, we didn't know. We just took it as it was Jesus.
Oh, interesting.
I understand your question, but in remote viewing sense, there wouldn't be a way to task that without tasking the answer.
So you're already tasking one or the other anyway.
Even front-loading like that. I mean, really, the purpose of what they're trying to do is just be as objective as possible. And I mean, you bring it. It's actually really cool to think about, Karma.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the real purpose, though. What Vance is getting at is that as far as remote viewing goes, we're trying to find out what happened.
Right.
What happened here? Not
speaking
according
of
to
which.
Who these people think or what these people think. What actually went down?
The one thing, though, okay, and that's a fantastic project, and thank you for doing it and presenting it, and I'm sure it's going to be talked about quite a bit.
Oh,
but
especially down here.
One of the things that Trinity Science does that is on the web, if you go to trinityscience.com, and you look on the web, you can't help but notice their lottery sessions. Okay, there's absolutely no way you can go to that website and miss the lottery sessions, because there's been some talk on Ghostly Talk in the past. There's been some talk on Coast to Coast in the past. There's been talk all over the place about successfully predicting the lottery.
Right.
Okay? It's just not... People say you cannot do it. People say there's absolutely no way you can do it because either you cannot profit from your gifts or talents, or it's chaos theory and stuff like that that goes into, you know, making those balls pop up or out or whatever they do when they select lottery numbers.
Yeah.
And you just simply cannot do it. We, of course, had Aaron Donahue on several times, and he's somebody who does it, who says, I do it, and I even posted 5 successful sessions in a row last May on my website, and here's the proof. But what's interesting, his site's been revamped since then.
Right.
So we don't have that data. But what we do have is trinityscience.com. You go there, and you can view at any time, and it's not redone. It is there physically for you to download and look at actual session data, the things that people drew, and scanned images of winning lottery numbers.
That's the important part. That's the validation. That's the verification that you're actually able to isolate the proper numbers and play them. That's the validation.
And that's that I've not seen on other, you know, websites or you know, it's just not current data available, you know, on the internet. But at TrinitySciences.com, you've got it.
Right.
You've got this stuff up there. How do you do a lottery session? I know that 8 billion people, if they knew that your website existed, right, they would be hammering on your website trying to predict the lottery, okay? So how come you can do it? Why does it work?
Well, that's a big question.
And we have to do it, but we have to do it quickly because we're like down to like 8 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And that's why I wrapped it up, you know, 6 minutes ago for the Jesus stuff.
Yeah, I don't spend too much time on it. I probably should spend more on it, but, you know, it's just numerically, alphanumerics is something that is just one of those things that's interesting, and I work on it just, you know, every now and then. I haven't done a lottery session in probably 2 to 3 months now just because I've been so busy on other things. But my approach to it is radically different from, say, you know, Aaron's. And Aaron, he's, you know, he does incredible work, and, you know, I wouldn't be talking to you right now if it wasn't for Aaron. So, you know, I mean, the guy does fantastic work, and you know,
he is groundbreaking. He is earth-shattering. The stuff that he does is that phenomenal.
Right.
It really is.
The thing is, and you know, I don't agree with what everything that Aaron says or does or everything else, but you know, the cool thing is that doesn't matter because we still have a great respect for each other as remote viewers, and we there's more things that we agree on than there are that we don't agree on. But his work is very interesting, very compelling, and that's what got me interested in lottery in the first part, because you know, here's this guy that's posting this formula to work numbers to work lottery, and I thought, well, you know, this is interesting, let me play around with this. And I initially started playing around with his ideas on numerics and formulas, and I got some successes, and I posted them. I posted the session work, but more importantly, and I keep harping on it, I posted the winning lottery tickets. That's key. And that's how I got into it. But as I went along, I started to think, you know, why is it that as remote viewers, we cannot directly remote view this? And the idea has been all along that, you know, the idea of a digit, you know, the number one, is so symbolic. It's just, you know, a symbol that we assign to a value as a human being. So it's not something that's tangible that we can really touch. And as a remote viewer, we need percepts. We need perceptions. We need, you know, how does something feel? What's the color? What's the dimensionality? So that's the problem with trying to remote view a digit, is, you know, that's the challenge. And so I was like, you know, there's got to be a way to do this. There's got to be a different approach to try to tackle that problem. And, you know, I just kind of worked on my perspective and realized that, you know, the research they did in the military, their theory was that any and all information is accessible via the signal line. So I thought, well, there's got to be a way to access it. It's just a matter of figuring out how. So I devised a way of cueing or asking a question about the lottery in such a way that visually I placed myself in front of a huge 3D Stonehenge-like object that is symbolically connected to a winning digit, and then I tried to extract the dimensionality of this digit and sketch it. And that's my approach to remote viewing numbers now. So I'm trying to take something that's symbolic and via remote viewing turning it into something, you know, three-dimensional and a hard object, and then trying to extract the data from it. And that's what, you know, that's my approach to it. And it's a little different from, say, what Aaron's doing with his formulas, because my idea with remote viewing or anything is I don't want to add to the process. I don't want to add more layers on to the method I'm using. I want to strip away. Kind of like a sculpture or a sculptor that's creating a sculpture. He doesn't add clay onto it to make his masterpiece. He strips it away. And that's what I want to do with remote viewing. I want to actually strip away layers so I can get to the point where I can just directly get the information I need. Eventually, I don't want to remote view anymore. I want to be able to just get the information as a person, as a human being, you know, without actually having to sit down with pen and paper. That's the goal, is to get rid of remote viewing. So that's kind of my approach with the lottery. But, you know, the big thing is, and I stress this to anyone and everyone in the remote viewing community, you got to validate your stuff. If you're doing lottery, you gotta post the winning tickets. You gotta post that winning receipt to verify that you were able to isolate the digit properly in time to go to the store to buy that ticket. That's key. That's crucial.
Lots of proof.
And it's undeniable proof.
It's undeniable
proof.
He's
got the scanned images of winning lottery tickets on the site. Well, I know that like 800 billion people are going to be really interested in like, hey, Vance, Can you remote view tomorrow's winning ticket for me? That's what everyone's going to say. What would be your answer?
Probably not. You know, I mean, you know, the biggest thing is right now is you know, the little work that I do with the lottery. I work with, you know, the cash threes and the play fours, because it's three or four digits and it's only from 0 to 9 per digit placement. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, can you get the big six digit thing? And I've done actually some sessions on the what we call the Fantasy Five here in Florida, which is five digits, and it's 0 through 36 or something like that. And I've gotten up to three digits on that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you're dealing with, and I have the tickets for that too, by the way. I don't have them posted. But the thing is, it's so difficult. It's you know, when you're dealing with dimensionality and you start sketching a zero or something, or you start sketching a three, you know, did you mess up and did you really mean to sketch an eight as opposed to a three? It's so close. So
and the same with a nine can be a six upside down because you're looking at a three-dimensional figure.
Yeah.
Your perception, like, are you on the ground?
Right.
Or are you in the air? Where is your where are you perceiving? Because if you perceive a seven from the top, you're looking at a one.
Exactly. It's all perspective. So I've kind of phrased it. I've been working out specific techniques to actually place myself right in front of the thing, smack in front of it, to try to isolate, you know, how I'm looking at it. And then you can do what we call, you know, micro movements or whatever in remote viewing to kind of move your position around. And we do that. And then I'm developing some later stage techniques to try to isolate, you know, a little more what the digit may be, things of that nature. But to be honest with you, I don't spend too much time on it because there's just so much other stuff to work on. I mean, whether it's you know, a project like this, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, which is, you know, a huge departure for me, or just nuts and bolts remote viewing and getting to the you know, validation training targets, which, you know, is the bulk of my remote viewing diet, is just you know, someone has a picture somewhere in an envelope and I try to remote view it, you know, because that's where you get the real feedback. Yeah, but then of course, you know, there's still some you know, quote operational targets that I'm working on, and hopefully later this year we should you know, have a, well, we'll see.
I want you back on.
I'll cut that one off. How's that?
I want you back on the show, but we do have to leave this show and let it go and archive it and put it up and let everybody hear it.
But this is just, I gotta say, this is just information packed right here.
Yeah,
this is
solid.
Awesome. I mean, this is something we learned. I mean, I'm glad we were able to get you on today, Vance, because, I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, there was so much stuff going on. I mean, with the shows we have with Aaron Donahue and all the talk about this going on right now, it's a very, very, it's a growing field. It really is.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to get bigger because,
well, it helps if you know what it's about.
Well,
especially for me, you know.
What I'm interested in is whether Ghostly Talk listeners are interested in it. If Ghostly Talk if the emails I get and stuff are like, wow, this is groundbreaking stuff, this is awesome, can I do it, that kind of thing, I'm going to actually email Vance and say, look, we want a target for Ghostly Talk listeners. So make something up, and we're going to give people a code and see if they're going to see what people send in. See if people can do this.
I mean,
I think that kind of thing. I want to do more of this because remote viewing interests me.
Well,
I think
the more people you have in the team, I mean, if I'm correct here, I mean, just
well, the more data you would get.
Well, the more people you have in the team. Now, for example, if you look at this PDF that Vance just finished up, You look at these data charts,
mm-hmm.
and you'll go across the chart and you'll see the exact same words,
right,
from each different viewer. And I'm going,
and they had no clue.
That's a bit
what,
creepy,
yeah.
Right? Now let's say we get like 100 people or 200 people, and you get this giant data chart,
mm-hmm.
and it's all the same thing. I mean, that's pretty extreme.
That would be
that's
yes,
pretty extreme.
Is.
That
if
would actually chill me to my bones.
Let's take a sample of 100, and you said if you got 50 of them, half that would still be astounding if you asked me.
Yeah.
So these are, I mean, that, Vance, if you're down with that, we might want to try and experiment
well,
with you.
Well, if we got enough interest, I'll get with Vance and see if we can get a blind target.
You know,
for
I would love to do something like that. It would be great for the remote viewing community at large, because that's the science of remote viewing. And if we could do that, going back to what Karma was talking about, we can set it up in such a way that administratively I can set up the association to a target, send you only the target ID number, and you post only the target ID number on your web page or whatnot.
Oh, this is cool.
Well, that's the thing. We wouldn't, as hosts, we wouldn't have any idea either.
Exactly.
There would be only one person on the planet who would know what it is, and that would be Vance himself.
Yeah.
So that would create that secondary buffer where you don't know what it is either, and that would be perfect. That would be a great published presentation to get into the remote viewing community.
It would be really interesting.
110% would be.
I would but know with, what it was.
Yeah, you'll psychic intuit it like you'd
right.
always do. Yeah, but anyway,
I'll hold Vance at gunpoint.
Here's what we have to do, you guys. We do have to close the show because W Paranormal is coming up.
Yeah.
Next on Pioneer. So,
wow.
Thank you, Vance.
Great
from
show.
TrinityScience.com.
Thank you.
Vance, stay on the line. We're going to close the show out, okay?
Alrighty.
All right.
That's it, guys.
I'm cooked. That was awesome.
I'm cooked all over.
Just absolutely amazing stuff. More to think about. I never thought I'd be talking about Jesus of Nazareth on the cross on Ghostly Talk.
Right.
But this is proof to me.
Yeah.
That remote viewing
can be
accurate, can be absolutely on the mark.
This
and,
is quite a read. This is quite a read.
Amazing
check
stuff. So with that, go to TrinityScience.com to check out our guest's Vance S. West's website. Our website, of course, is www.ghostlytalk.com. Coming up next on Pioneer at pioneer.rolo.net is, of course, W Paranormal. So stay tuned for the W Paranormal, folks. With that, I am Doug.
And I'm Scott L.
And I am Carmel.
We'll see you here again next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Later.
Science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.